Welcome to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange. Today's topic is Unleash Details of WebSphere Partner Gateway Version 6.11 Fix Pack 1. Today's presenters are Suraj Kumar, Srilatha, Kanaka Raidan, and Aitri Bujok. Suraj joined the WebSphere Partner Gateway L3 support team in September 2004. As a technical lead, he brought WPG development expertise from previous release to the L3 team. He is a Sun Certified Java programmer. Srilatha joined the WebSphere Partner Gateway L3 support team in May 2007. Prior to this, she was part of the WebSphere Data Interchange team. She is a Sun Certified Java programmer and a Sun Certified Web Component developer. Aitri joined the WebSphere Partner Gateway USL2 team in November 2006. She brought experience from AIX and LAN server, technical support, and AIX IBM director and storage area network testing. She is certified as AIX System Administrator, Microsoft Certified Professional plus Internet, and Red Hat Technician. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Aitri.
Good day, everybody. This presentation provides further details of selected defects on WebSphere Partner Gateway 6.11 Fix Pack 1. On slide 2, the presentation agenda will cover what you need to know before you apply WPG 6.11 Fix Pack 1. There are two parts of the presentation. First, we'll touch on the general information for all WPG Fix Packs. And next, we will discuss a selected list of APARs. The introduction part is a repeat of information from our previous presentation. We will quickly cover it here, just in case you did not attend our previous FixPack technical exchange. The APARs selected here are conceptually more complex, and we hope the discussion can help your understanding of this FixPack. This is the second time that we have technical exchange after the release of a WPG FixPack, and your feedback is very much appreciated to let us know whether you are interested in seeing more of this type of technical exchange. On slide number 3, first we will talk about the general information for all WPG Fix Packs. On slide number 4, there are three parts of the general information. Where to download the Fix Pack, where is the README, and what is included in the README. We will start with where to download the Fix Pack. From Internet Search Engine, enter IBM support. Choose WebSphere and any WPG product under the next selection. On slide number 5, you will see this page gives you a visual presentation of WPG support page. You can see from the pointed arrow, there's a download option. Slide number 6, once a Fix Pack is downloaded, you will have the README file. Inside the README file, you will find abstracts of defects fixed in the Fix Pack, WASM and JDK version, known problems and workaround, installation instruction, uninstalling instruction, and other Fix Pack specific information. This concludes our presentation on general information for all WPG Fix Packs. Next, we will discuss a selected list of defects from Fix Pack 1. We're providing further details of those APARs because they are conceptually more complex. On slide number 8, 23 APARs will be included in this presentation. Please note that after the last technical exchange, we received very positive feedback from customers. So for this presentation, we include more than double the numbers of APARs to discuss with you. By doing so, we drew APARs from a much larger number of developers' work. At the end of the presentation, some of your questions might have to be answered through email because we might have to follow up with specific developers or Level 3 teammates. Thank you for your understanding. Let's move to slide number 9. On slide number 9, for each A part, we will have 4 part information. Symptoms, cause or steps for recreation, for whom this fix is required, and the description of the fix. Here we will start with A part JR29029. This A part is about error BCG210033, message store failed. The cause of the problem is, although WPG viewer shows the inbound 997 transaction as successfully completed. You can see a green check mark there. Users will still get 2 error messages. BCGEDICM0001 and BCG210033. This fix is important for all customers who receive inbound functional acknowledgement documents. We added a check, so if the document is functional acknowledgement, then stored it. Next, we'll talk about APART JR29720. This is a malformed input exception turned XML output into binary. When the data encoding used in output XML document is different from the input XML document, you will see exception in the trace. Here you can see the document flow. This fix is important for customers who use transformation. The problem was the encoding was not properly set on the outbound document, which was causing the outbound document to be treated as a binary document. And we fixed that. On slide 11, JR29726, the primary goal for this APAR fix is to match what the documentation says. In other words, we implemented some code so the users will have that feature. We implemented the code for user-defined search field. This fix uses DIS client. Users need to set the target properties. User search field 1 through user search field 10 to search user defined search field. And customers can set the fields using the set property command present in DIS client. For the first input for set property, you will need to use the values from the search field 1 through 10. I have attached an example here to guide your usage. Slide number 12. Actually, the next 3 slides will cover one A part. JR29702. The content type for XML message was not configurable. In WBIC 422, the content type was output as TEXT XML, whereas WPG 6.1, the content type was hard-coded as application XML. The fix from this A part will allow the customers to set the desired content type for the outbound message. This fix is important for customers who transact XML message. Basically, there are 2 things for the implementation. The first one is add an attribute output content type for whichever protocol the attribute needs to be used for, and next set this attribute value in the required participant connection. On slide number 13, we have a bit further details here. First, you go to HubMN and choose Hub configuration. Next, choose document definition. To add the attribute for protocol, for example, like custom XML, click on the Edit Attributes icon to add it. Next, click on Add Attributes. The Add Attributes screen will have all attributes you want to add. At the bottom of the screen, you will see the attribute Output Content Type. Click on this one and save it. Next, you will need to set this attribute in the appropriate participant connection. In the attribute page, set the value of outbound content type to what you need and save it. The very next page, slide number 14, I have attached a screenshot there so you will see the final output to make sure you have reached the proper stage. Slide number 15, JR2AA24. On S2 protocol, large files with owning compression as an option fails to deliver. To recreate this problem, first you would configure an AS2 compression flow and rather AS2 document with payload size of more than the value configured in the BCG maximum file size for byte array attribute. This is under the System Administration Common Properties page. And the default for this property is 50 meg. The compression step on the outbound AS2 document will fail and the document is not routed. This fix is important for all customers of WPG611. The compression step was failing because an unexpected delete of temporary file used within WPG. This fix was made to make sure that all the required temporary files are available until the compression step is completed. On slide number 16, JR29329. WPG shows errors while processing a synchronous MDN having folded header in the transport header section of the transmission. The problem was with parsing here. This fix is important for customers who use AS2 transaction. We corrected parsing of headers to handle cases where a header could be split into multiple lines. Slide number 17, JR29715. When EDI message is received in compressed format through AS2, the file name which is preserved in mind, body part, is not fetched. As a result, the file name is set to VUID of the document. This fix is important for customers who use compressed format in their AS2 transaction. The fix will allow the original file name parsed, extracted from the My Body part of the incoming AS2 transaction, and is used to name the destination file. On slide number 18, JR29068, inbound JMS message with a bad RFH headers. Those are the poison messages. They cannot be processed by WPG. As a result, those bad messages, they will remain in the MQQ and repeatedly generate error messages. WPG receiver server needs to be stopped to remove such poison messages from the MQ server. The cause of the problem is WPG encounters JMS exception while reading a JMS message with bad RFH headers. As WPG does not get a handle to the poison message, it cannot back out the message. Such poison messages can only be backed out by the MQ server. This fix is important for customers who use JMS to receive documentations. The fix will allow you to disable the JMS receiver and then remove the poison message from the MQ server. Whereas earlier, before the fix pack, WPG server will need to be stopped for this to happen. There's also an alternative. By using certain MQQ configuration attributes, a poison message can be made to go to backout queue automatically once it exceeds the backout stretch count. I have attached a related techno here, just in case you're interested in pursuing that alternative. On slide number 19, JR29725. Trading partner unable to process MDN sent out from a WPG instance as it contains folded headers. The root cause is this stack. The AS stack does not mandate folded header handling capability. And as a result, some of the partner products on the market, they might not be able to process those MDNs. This fix is important for customers performing AS transactions. To resolve the problem, normal format is used while building the headers for asynchronous MDN. Slide number 20, JR29706. Document viewer does not show the document ID of the binary payload. Alerts defined for such binary transactions having the document ID attribute is left blank. This fix is important for customers transacting binary payloads. We have changed the code so the original file name or binary payload is set as a document ID, and so the viewer too will show the same. On slide number 21, JR29708, GMS messages are lost when WPG's common file system is out of space. While processing a GMS message payload, initially it is written onto the WPG common file system. If the file system is out of space, then this write will fail. Currently, the GMS messages were committed, which result in the message taken off on the MQQ, and as a result, they were lost. This fix is important for customers who use GMS targets. In case of such write errors that GMS messages are now rolled back, then preventing the loss of data, once the file system issues are resolved, the GMS messages will be processed fine. On slide number 22, JR29895. Before we go on with this A part, I want to mention this actually happened very rarely, but it can occur. That WPG sends expired acknowledgments for AS and RNIF transactions. During heavy load scenarios, it's possible that the acknowledgments are processed very slowly, either in the workflow or in a delivery manager. This might lead to sending of expired acknowledgments. This fix is important for customers having high RNIF or AS transactions rate. In this fix pack, expired acknowledgement can optionally be stopped from being sent out to partners. To enable this behavior, in console, go to System Administration, choose Dock Manager Administration, next choose BPE, DAE, then the main properties, and set the value of the property BCG, fail, expired, signals, set this one to true. The default value for this property is false. Once this property value is set to true, expired signals will not be sent out. I will turn the presentation now to my co-presenter, Shreza, and she will cover the rest of the presentation. Thank you.
Thank you, Aichi. Hello, everybody. I am Shreelata from WPG L3. I will take you through the rest of the presentation. I'm on slide 23, APAR JR29690. FTP scripting gateway configuration has user options that can be provided from the console. These user option values are substituted in the script at runtime. The problem statement of the APAR was that these user option values were ignored. As a result, documents were delivered to the wrong folders. The steps for recreating the issue would be to configure an FTP scripting gateway with a script that uses the user option values. This fix is applicable for all users who use FTP scripting gateway. The fix corrects the handling of the user options configured. On slide 24, JR29709. For an inbound AS message, in some cases, the AS state engine in WPG used to repeatedly attempt to generate an MDN. This was noticed in cases where the request message originated from the backend. The cause for such a behavior was identified as a blank value that was provided for the backend header, exhaust process instance ID, at the sender's end, because of which the outbound AS message had a blank message ID. At the receiver's end, when such an AS message is received, the state engine encountered errors while trying to generate an MDN, which led to the recurrent attempts to generate MDN. This fix is applicable for all customers who do a backend to AS flow. The fix was to enable WPG to handle the case when the backend header, exhaust process instance ID, was blank. WPG handles this by generating a message ID in such cases for an outbound AS message. Moving to slide 25, JR29711. Until before this fix, WPG used to produce output files with daytime fields in GMT after performing any transformation or enveloping operations. Hence, the problem arose when customers wanted their purchase order or any message with daytime fields to be displayed in the local time zone. The steps to recreate this issue would be to run a transaction which involves transformation of a message that has daytime field. This fix can be used by all customers who transact with messages that has daytime fields and who use WPG to transform or envelope such messages. Slide 26. This slide describes the fix for JR29711. When transformation or enveloping is carried out in WPG, the date functions of Java is used. Here we check if the user has specified any time zone value in the properties file. This is then used in the appropriate date operations during enveloping or transformation. To specify the time zone, you need to do the following. You need to go to the install path of the WPG install location, go down to router libconfig folder, open the EDI params properties file and add a new property called time zone. This property takes a value of zone ID. The zone ID can be specified in any of the following formats. There is an example shown where the time zone is specified as Europe/Rome, or it can be specified as a GMT plus HHMM value, where HH can take values from 00 to 59, where HH can take values from 00 to 23, and MM can take values from 00 to 59. The HHMM value is the difference between the GMT time and the local time. If the value specified for the zone ID is not acceptable, then the time that will be used during the transformation or enveloping will be the GMT time. Once the property is set, you need to restart the router. I'm on slide 27, JR29694. The problem statement of the APAR is that during functional acknowledgement processing, a status code of 8 specified in the fourth element of the UCI segment in the functional acknowledgement was treated as a reject code instead of a success code. This can be recreated by sending a functional acknowledgement to WPG in which the UCI 04 element is 8. This fix is applicable to all customers who do FA processing. There is a list of codes or values for UCI 04 which is maintained in WPG to decide the status of the transaction sent. 8 was not among the success codes and this was added. I'm on slide 28, JR 29701. Prior to this fix, WPG required a restart of its servers when any of the validation maps were updated. Validation maps would be XSDs. The reason for this was that an internal cache maintained for XSDs was not getting refreshed when the validation map was updated. This fix is required by all customers who use XSD-based validation maps. This cache issue is fixed now and an update to a validation map does not need a server restart for it to be reflected at runtime. I'm on slide 29, JR 30102. In WPG version 6.1.1, there was a new system administration property introduced called the bcg.threshold.messagestore. User can use this property to specify a value which will be used by WPG as the threshold value. Documents whose size is greater than this value will not be persisted in the message store. The document viewer will display such transactions with a message store turned off icon. This icon is not clickable, which means that it is not possible to view such messages using the raw document viewer. The APAR was opened as the message store turned off icon was not displayed for the same transactions when viewed using its business protocol viewer, such as AS, RNIF, or EBMS. The steps to recreate the issue would be to set the system administration property to some value and to route a document with size greater than the threshold value. If it was an AS transaction, then in the AS viewer, we would not see the message store turned off icon for this transaction. This was fixed to display the correct icon based on the document size and the threshold value set. This fix is useful for all WPG customers. I'm on slide 30. JR 29687. This APAR was necessary because it was noticed that the signed message disposition notifications or MDNs received for outbound AS messages sent from WPG were marked successful even though WPG could not verify the signer or validate the signature of the signed MDN. This can be recreated by sending an outbound AS document requesting for a signed MDN. But the certificate to verify the signature should not be configured in WPG. This was a step to recreate the issue. The issue arose because the errors in signature verification, though was caught during MDN processing, yet they were not flagged and it did not reflect in the final status of the MDN processing. This has been fixed now, and an MDN that failed signature verification will be marked as failed to be seen in the viewer. This fix is useful for all customers who transact using AS. Moving to slide 31, JR 29698. When WPG is used to transform from one definition of ROD to another definition of ROD where the output record-oriented data format does not have a record ID field defined, it was seen that the transformation failed and no output was produced. To recreate this issue, configure WPG to perform a ROD to ROD transformation by uploading an appropriate map. The data format of the output ROD should have a blank record ID field for each of its output record definition. This, we see, would result in error, and an error event is published. As a result, no output is produced. This fix is useful for customers who transact with record-oriented data. A fix was made such that WPG now handles data format with blank record ID fields. On slide 32, JR29020. The partner migration tool, which is used to export or import configurations from or into WPG instances, did not support the export or import of certificates. This can be recreated by performing an export of partner configuration from WPG. You will see that the certificate configurations would not get exported. This fix is useful for all customers who use partner migration tool to export or import partner configurations. In 611 FP1, the support to export or import certificates have been added to the partner migration tool using this APAR. On slide 33, JR29366. In WPG 611, it was observed that a HTTP forward proxy could not be used with a HTTPS gateway. To recreate this, create a HTTP proxy and configure a HTTPS gateway to use the HTTP forward proxy. This we see would fail and outbound messages would not get delivered over HTTPS. This fix is useful for all customers who use forward proxy support. The fix was to populate all the proxies in the gateway configuration screen irrespective of the transport type of the selected gateway, because of which it is now possible to configure a HTTP proxy for a HTTPS gateway and also configure a HTTPS proxy for a HTTP gateway. On slide 34, JR29710. It was reported that the FTP scripting receiver would hang or stop polling for files once it encounters an error while retrieving files of names whose length is less than 3. The reason for the failure was an unhandled exception thrown when processing of such a file with name whose length is less than 3. To recreate the issue, you can configure an FTP scripting receiver to receive files with file names less than 3. File names whose length is less than 3. WPG was fixed to handle this case. Your FTP scripting receiver should be able to receive files whose file names have a length of less than 3. This fix is useful for all customers who use FTP scripting receivers. Moving on to the next slide. In summary, this presentation has guided you through IBM's support page with important tools to help you do problem determination yourself. We have also explained WPG logging and its enablement to assist you further in analyzing the cause of the error scenarios. We also discussed a selected list of known problems to save you your time and to enhance the ease of use of WPG. Moving on to the next slide. This chart includes links to a number of sites that provide valuable online resources for WebSphere products. DeveloperWorks offers in-depth technical information. The events link on support pages points you to webcast and conference information. Visit WebSphere.org for user group information and more product information. The IBM Education Assistant consists of self-help modules to get new users up the learning curve quickly. The ESR tool is for Passport Advantage clients to open, update, and view PMRs online. and the My Notifications link on all product support pages lets you sign up for weekly email updates for products of interest to you. That concludes the presentation, and I'm going to turn it over to Joseph. Thank you.
Thank you, Suresh, Slava, and Aichi for a great presentation. At this point, Kat, we would like to open the lines for questions.
And it does appear that there are no questions at this time. Mr. Lam, please go ahead.
Thank you, Kat. At this time, we will conclude the presentation.